All right, degenerates, we're here for your week 15. We're going to give you the week 14 recap. We're going to give you the week 15 predictions. We are recording this Thursday night, and we have some breaking news that just happened just before our eyes, but we'll get to that in time. We are joined, as always, by co-host of the show, Mr. Steve and Samson. How are you doing tonight, Steve?
Good, Brian. What's up, degenerates? Hopefully, week 14 in your fantasy playoffs garnered you a win, unlike some of us that are here on the podcast and went up against Derrick Henry in almost every single lineup.
Yes,
how are you guys
sir.
Doing tonight?
Almost as good as Derrick Henry.
Almost.
We are joined by the commissioner, Mr. Eric DeFusco. How are you doing tonight, Eric?
I'm doing pretty good, man. Got a little bit of a headache going on, but I'm battling through it.
Yep. Just like you battled through the season.
Battle through the season.
You're getting ready to play your first playoff matchup this year, coming off a bye. How you feeling?
Nervous. Always nervous. You're always nervous in the playoffs because it's do or die, you know? Yeah,
any one slip up.
That's it. An injury, a poor performance from one of your key guys, and you could be on your way out like that, man. It's my first meaningful game in weeks, when you really think about it. Like, week 10, maybe, when I played Shane? Like, other than that, it's just kind of been whatever, you know what I mean? Like, I had my spot clinched up pretty early, and...
Yeah.
So this is a little uncharted territory for me, because this is the first meaningful game I've had in well over a month, and I'm playing a team that's been pretty hot, and we'll get there at the end.
All right, so... I don't see any reason to put it off anymore. Let's get straight into our mailbag.
The mailbag.
So, this question is from Anonymous. Very mysterious. Signed it Anonymous. Anonymous wants to know, is Antonio Brown worth a play against Atlanta's weak defense? Eric, I'm going to hand this one over to you. I want to know your initial thought.
Well, Shane, as enticing as it is, I don't know if I'd have the balls to pull the trigger.
In the playoffs.
That's what's scaring me. If this was like regular season, maybe, yeah, why not? But it's got to be. Would you be scared to play him this week, Brian?
Fuck, shoot, he's got to show it to me. He's not getting into my lineup without showing it to me.
Like, he has not exactly been, he's been okay, but he's not exactly been lighting the world on fire. I mean, he's... 6 points, 13, 13, 3, and 10. Not bad for a flex play, except for the, you know, rule out the 3-point and the 6-point week. But as good as the matchup is, man, I think I would look for better options. And I know the person I'm thinking of has better options on his bench.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could pull the trigger, man. Honestly, I know the matchup's nice on paper, but it's like you said, he hasn't really shown it to you, Antonio Brown. Like, he's clearly... What is he, the third look on that team? Fourth, maybe?
Yeah, at best.
Like, Evans is healthy. Godwin's playing. Gronk's playing. Like, if Godwin was out or something like that, then I'd be more inclined to say yes. So if Evans was out. But with them two guys healthy, like, they're the two alphas. You know what I mean?
Steve, what are your thoughts?
It's a desperation play. I know, because I have to make the same call in a couple of my deeper dynasty leagues.
Yeah, I was just about to say, let's not pretend there aren't desperate playoff teams trying to fill a spot.
You know, if you squeezed in at 7-6 and happened to make it through to the second round and you got to put somebody on your lineup because of COVID or injuries, Antonio Brown's not a bad choice, but I would definitely be looking at other places because there's too many other options for them to go to on that team. And it's really just going to depend on game script. I mean, everybody on Tampa Bay should benefit from Ronald Jones being out and Leonard Fournette being in. But I don't know. I don't know that you want to trust your playoffs unless you absolutely have to Antonio Brown.
Very rare that me and Steve agree, but here we are. That should tell you something. Let's move right on to the recap of possibly the worst I've ever done.
The boom bust recap.
I got exactly one pick right. So, booms, Nyheim Hines, nope. All the work went to Jonathan Taylor again. I cannot figure that fucking team out, man. It is Russian roulette starting any fucking Colt in your lineup, man. It's brutal. Cole Beasley against Pittsburgh. I thought the number two would have a good day. The number one would have a bad day. It was just the opposite. Stephon Diggs did A-OK, which we'll get to in just a second. And Cole Beasley did mediocre. You know, he only had 9.1 fantasy points. He finished wide receiver 50 on the week. Pretty fucking bad. For the bus, I picked Mr. J.K. Dobbins, who definitely was moving, again, faster than I thought he could. He's got some wheels, man. He ended up finishing with 13.3 fantasy points, number 19 on the week, right on the fucking line. But what are you going to do? That's not a bust. He's in that purgatory between boom and bust. And Stephon Diggs, 31.1 fantasy points. The number one wide receiver on the week. If that's busting, I just don't know. Yeah, what are you going to do? My Samson's deep flex play was T. Higgins, 9.9 fantasy points, finished one fucking yard short of meeting the 10-point minimum that we promise you with our deep flex play. Didn't make it. I did give a Cosby's deep sleeper, which was Russell Gage against the Los Angeles Chargers for $4,500. That was a W. 20.15 fantasy points. No Julio. He went out there and fucking slayed it. That was my week in a nutshell. Just absolutely terrible. The only pick I got right was Russell Gage for $4,500. And, I mean, that's with money on the line, dude. You know, I played him. I won some money. I hope you guys did, too. Eric, how'd you make out on your week 14 predictions? Steve, how'd you make out on your boom bust predictions?
Oh, my boom busts were fantastic this week. I went over, although we'll get to it. I had one pick that's questionable, but being as we're trying to hold ourselves to a higher standard, I had to change it on the fly, and I put zero research into it, and it showed. So for my boom running back, I picked DeAndre Swift against Green Bay. Every other running back in the NFL has had a great game against Green Bay except for Swift, who had a decent day at 15 points, but not a boom. He finished at 17, I think.
Yes, sir.
Running back. And a couple more yards, he'd have been fine. I also picked Cole Beasley against Pittsburgh. As you said, Diggs had the better day. For my busts, I picked Dalvin Cook against Tampa, and he did not bust. 21 fantasy points, put him at the number 11 running back. Probably not what you were hoping for out of Dalvin Cook in the playoffs, but still not terrible.
Yeah, nobody's crying about 21 points.
No. And then for my bust wide receiver, I picked Julio Jones, who at the time of recording was not ruled out, and the next day they ruled him out for the week. So Brian forced me to pivot.
Correct.
And I just picked Tyreek Hill against Miami on the fly. And as I needed him to, he boomed. So I missed that. 26.1 fantasy points, number six wide receiver on the week. Didn't have a deep sleeper last week. And my Samson's deep flex play was Alan Lazard. And I cannot compete with the snap count that they're keeping him on. So 3.9 fantasy points.
Yeah, I mean, he's just so up and down. It's so hard to pick when he's going to
Since he came back from injury, they're keeping him on a snap count. They're only going to play him like 40%. Of the game. So if they would have said that last week before we recorded, I would have been able to pivot, but that came out like Friday.
Yeah. So. Eric, how'd you make out, man?
Well, I think I did a little bit better than you guys.
You did. Much better,
two
even.
Two on the boom. Two on the boom bust. I went back to him from my running back. I picked him several weeks back and he fucked me good. He got a donut, but not this week. I went with Cam Akers, baby. 29.4 fantasy points. That seems high. I ain't going to argue it. He did have 171 yards rushing on the ground. Nate, man, probably wishing he didn't drop his ass now. As far as the booms go, that's the only good boom I got right. I went with Chase Claypool going up against the Buffalo Bills, and he kind of stunk. He finished outside the top 50. 4.5 fantasy points. Not a great day. It was the Juju show, man.
Yep.
Even Deontay Johnson did not do well. Deontay Johnson got benched in that game for the first half.
Yep.
So, on to my bust. I went with Mr. Ronald Jones II, and he did not bust. He had 15.4 fantasy points, which was good enough for RB16 on the week. And my wide receiver, I went with Mr. Adam Thielen. He finished outside the top 50. He only got 6.9 fantasy points. I don't know how I just something about Thielen. I didn't like him last week. Thought it was going to be more Jefferson. I believe that was the case.
Yes, it was.
Just was it more of a feeling pick, and I had a feeling about Thielen. Okay. And he busted. I did not give a Cosby's deep sleeper. I did have one written down. I do not remember who. I'm just gonna say that. No. So and then my Samson's deep flex play, I went with Alan Lazard.
No, you had Michael Gallup.
No.
No, wait. That does sound never, right.
I would have never picked Gallup.
I think I got them backwards. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's all right. They both sucked.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they're both under 5 points.
Yeah, they're both under 5 points. They didn't come 0.1 point away from booming like your guy, but from winning, I should say.
Yeah.
Yeah, Alan Lazard at 3.9 fantasy points. Michael Gallup, just for the sake of the show, he had 4.3 fantasy points, so... Neither one was particularly good, and I hope you didn't start them. That is it.
Yeah, I do remember now. It got all wonky because, the deep flex play was kind of sprung on last second, and we all just kind of shouted them out. And I must have mixed them up when I was typing them. I'm sorry. Yeah, so that's going to do it for the recap. So I think before we go into this week for our predictions, we're going to have to go over a little bit of breaking news.
Breaking news.
A lot to go over. Lot. Okay. So, obviously, most pressing, we just watched it happen. Derek Carr just left the field with what appeared to be a sprained groin. Probably the only fantasy-relevant player on that team to begin with is Darren Waller and Josh Jacobs. Obviously, my initial thought would be this would really hurt Darren Waller. And really help Josh Jacobs to have a worse quarterback under center, right? What are your thoughts, Steve?
Darren Waller just scored a touchdown. I don't know if you want to go back and start over.
No, not at all.
Okay. So with Mariota, he in Tennessee, he was a big fan of the tight end. So I don't think it affects Waller. I think it actually helps him. Jacobs, I think, should be semi-decent with Mariota as well because he's a little bit more mobile than Carr, and you could see some of the dumps to Jacobs. Other than that, maybe Ruggs isn't playing. He's on the COVID list. So you have Aguilar. I don't know what other receivers are even relevant in Vegas anymore.
You think Hunter Renfro could get a boost?
I think he gets a boost just because Ruggs is out, but I don't think he's fantasy relevant this week.
No, me neither. Eric, what are your thoughts?
It's Oakland. Or, I'm sorry, it's Vegas, right? Like you guys have really said, outside of Waller and Jacobs, there's really not many people you trust to start on that team to begin with. I think Waller will be fine. I mean, you're kind of stuck playing him now. It's week 15. I mean, there's not really going to be many tight end options out there. And as far as Ruggs goes, even if he wasn't on the COVID list, like he's not startable to begin with.
No.
He's probably not even ownable at this rate. He is completely flamed out. He is one of the few rookie receivers who actually underwhelmed because this has been a pretty good year for rookie wideouts. I ain't going to lie. There have been a lot of studs, and he has not been one of them.
And he was the first one off the board.
Aguilar is somebody you probably, even though he's been having actually a pretty good season, he's probably somebody you don't feel comfortable starting every week, even when he was doing well. If you had him in, you have him in this week. Obviously, if you win this week and you're going in the championship week and it's not going to be Carr, you're going to really, at least you'll be able to get to see this game play out and see if Aguilar gets the targets from Mariota. Is Carr ruled out for the game?
He's not ruled out, but he definitely pulled his
trending groin. That way. He's definitely trending that way.
If he comes back the way he was holding it when he went off the field, walked down the locker room, it's probably questionable. Because he was grabbing that thing pretty good.
I definitely don't expect him to come back the way he limped off the field like that. It was non-contact. It's not like he got hit and then he got up holding his leg or something. He was just running and then all of a sudden he almost fell down, like grabbing at his inner thigh where at his groin muscles. And
yeah, he shucked the ball out of bounds so that he wouldn't fumble it. He was in pain.
Yeah, I don't think there's any chance he comes back. And if he does, he's a total fucking fraud. moving on, Mr. Michael Thomas was held out of practice yet again. Obviously, at times he's been really lackluster this year. Do you think this is a product of injury? And what is your confidence level starting him right now?
If he's playing, you got to play him. I mean, I'm going to just go out on a whim. I mean, the guy has definitely been very, very inconsistent. He's had some flashes even with Taysom Hill.
You guys know that he has not scored a touchdown this year?
I know it. It's fucking insane.
Definitely has not returned that first-round pick cost that you paid to get him. The first half of the season, he was pretty much done due to injury. I mean,
yeah.
But he has strung together some decent games. I mean, 21 points, 21, 16, 10, but he's had some duds. 4 points, 4 points, 9 points. Kansas City, it's not a great matchup, but it's not a terrible one either. You know what I mean?
No, it's middle of the road.
It's middle of the road. It should be a game where there's a lot of points needing to be scored, so that's going to open up some opportunity for him. If he's healthy and he's playing, like, you got to play him, but you're probably not playing him with confidence right now. I can't imagine.
Steve, any thoughts?
We'll get to this a little later.
Understood. We'll get to it later. Oh, is your boom wide receiver Emmanuel Sanders?
No, but my bust fucking wide receiver is Michael Thomas, and he's probably going to get ruled out. So I have to give it again. Spoiler alert.
Christian McCaffrey once again missed practice. He was officially ruled doubtful today for Saturday's game. Fuck, man. Like,
McCaffrey's out, dude. Fire up your Mike Davis. He's not going to play again this year.
It's fucking brutal. Well, I think he'll play next week.
There's no reason for them to put him back out.
It doesn't matter. It does not matter. He wants to play.
Yeah, I know, but they're not going to risk it. I don't think he sees the field.
It's not their decision.
You know, it's not Carolina's decision to put him on the field?
I think if he wants to play, he's going to fucking play. Yeah.
I don't think so.
I honestly question if he's even going to play again this season, too. This is a whole brand new injury, a quad injury. Like, the guy who had kind of been known as an Iron Man, as a workhorse, you know what I mean? A guy who had not really had much trouble with injury all the way dating back to his high school to college to the NFL this year has really been getting banged up. You can probably attest that to the heavy workload he's received the past few years. I mean, the guy is just always on the field, gets a gazillion touches, and like,
this undersized.
Undersized. Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's a freak. He's a fucking, I mean, the guy's in phenomenal shape. You can tell he does his best to stay in football shape, and you can tell he's one of those, he takes his health serious.
Yeah.
But it's, some things just, you get hurt. It doesn't matter how much you work out or how much you hit the gym.
And, absolutely.
I wonder, heading into next year, if this is going to maybe say Carolina's going to be like, you know what? Maybe we kind of got to scale his workload back a little bit. We got to get some help. We got to get a change of pace back in there to kind of help.
They
help
have
the fucking guy.
That's why they got Mike Davis. That's why they signed him. And he's produced for him. So I think with McCaffrey, they let him sit this year. That he gets healthy in the offseason, and they come back. They have, you know, their 1-2 punch at running back, and they have a couple of guys, younger guys, that are behind them on the depth chart that could also step in and take a few touches here and there. But I would be highly surprised if McCaffrey's back at all this year.
He already said he wants to play.
I know he wants to play, Brian. I know he wants to play, but it's not up to him.
It kind of is, though.
It kind of is not.
It kind of
is. The coach. It's not.
I understand he's not the coach, but we all know that the star players have a certain amount of pull.
They do, but when the team is out of playoff contention, they're not going to risk their biggest asset by putting him on the field when they don't need to.
You're right. They would never do that. No NFL team would ever do that. Next piece of news. Saying. George Kittle designated to return from IR. What the fuck are they playing for?
I think they're still in.
They have an outside
chance. They have an outside chance. Card. Yeah.
They need a lot of help, but they have like a 5% chance of making the playoffs.
Yeah, whereas Carolina, we all know, is realistically zero.
They're eliminated.
So George Kittle was designated to return. Like I said, when he went out, if you're going to make the playoffs, just fucking hang on to him because you never know. And now he might be available to play for championship weekend. If he is returning for next week's game and you're in your championship, he will be playing New Orleans. Would you start him?
If Kittle's playing, I'm starting him. It doesn't matter who he plays.
Agreed. Eric?
If Kittle's active, you're playing him.
Yeah. And I mean, not to mention, like,
unless
if you have
unless
Kittle.
The tight end's fucking Kelsey.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, if you have Kittle, more likely than not, whoever you're starting right now is not that good. You probably don't have a second, you know, not many people carry two top 10 tight ends. So it's not like you have another guy where you're like, yeah, I'm fine with this. Like, you're probably starting somebody like Akins, you know, like. It's like, I mean, to not start Kittle would just be insanity. Or you're like me, and I have Jordan Reed, which if Kittle's coming back, then Jordan Reed has literally no value. So makes my decision easy. That's going to bring us to the Bucks placing Ronald Jones on the reserve COVID-19 list. What would be your confidence level starting Leonard Fournette in this playoff game?
Who are they playing, Atlanta?
Yes, sir.
Atlanta.
Jeez.
Yep.
Atlanta's actually got a pretty solid run D. Fournette has not looked particularly great the snaps he's had
ever
on the field as of late. Ever. he had like one good game, and I think Steve actually like sniffed it out. It was like what, week three or something?
Three or four, something like that.
Yeah. He really hasn't done much since. Like, you might be in a position like frequent writer into the show, Connor, if he's still in the playoffs, where Fournette might be his best fucking option going into this week, because at least he's got a guy who's going to be starting.
Yep.
Oh, you'd have to start him in his position.
Yeah, but like if I was doing like weekly rankings, like I would still have Fournette. I don't even think would crack my top 20. I don't even know if he cracked my top 25. That's even good. Like I would trust Nyheim Hines over fucking. I would trust Taylor and Hines over Fournette from just two running backs from the same team, just to kind of touch on it. But yeah, I wouldn't feel confident, but you might not have a choice. Kind of like Steve said with the Antonio Brown take earlier.
Yeah, absolutely. So that is going to wrap up the breaking news. So before we get into this week's predictions, real quick, I'm curious what you guys think about this question I've been mulling over for the award show. Who is the fantasy playoff MVP? So, I mean, obviously, we're not going to have any answers right now. We're only 1 week into the playoffs, but you know, what are we going to use for our criteria here? Is it, I mean, you can't just go by the highest point scored because there's no point in asking the question, right?
So, like, Derrick Henry is the answer to your question.
More likely than not.
Look at his strength. Look at his.
His schedule's a fucking cakewalk.
This week and next week. If you have Derrick Henry on your team, most likely you are going to win the fantasy playoffs. If you don't, it's because the rest of your team blows, or you're just absolutely devastated by injury the last 2 weeks of the season. But, I mean, from what he put up last week, he should put up relatively the same numbers this week and next week. So that would be my hands-down answer. I don't think anybody else is even close.
Yeah.
He's probably the betting favorite.
Yeah, yeah. No, he definitely is. So, I mean, but that's really what I'm getting at here is, you know, are we talking about, like, when you think about how to answer the question, is it really, like, do you place an emphasis on position? You know, do you automatically lean running back because of the position scarcity? Do you lean tight end because of the position scarcity? You know, I mean, really, you could argue that Travis Kelce scoring almost 30 points last week is just as valuable, if not more, than Derrick Henry scoring 36 at running back. Because there's no other tight end that's going to give you that week in, week out like he does.
No. Like, who was the next closest tight end? Who was the tight end to last week?
Gesicki with 23.
Yeah, 23. So that's a 7-point gap.
And then the third highest scoring tight end at 16. So he had 11 points over the third highest. You know, whereas, you know, Derrick Henry had 36. The next highest was 30, then 29, then 28, then 26. So how much emphasis do you put on position, Steve?
In most of the leagues, the way they're set up now, I don't put a ton of emphasis on it because, I mean, you usually have a couple of flex spots, so you can stick in a second tight end if you had to that had a great matchup, or if you were one of those people that rostered two top 10 tight ends. I'm in the fantasy playoffs. I'm going to put the guys in there with the best matchups that have the chance to score me the most amount of points. It doesn't matter to me really what position they're in. If I could roster four tight ends and start them because I thought they were going to win me the week, that's who I put in.
Yeah. I mean, I will say that to me, it would be tougher to let a wide receiver in, to let a wide receiver win that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There's just so many that score so much. It just, it feels like I'm giving wide receiver a disadvantage behind running back and tight end. Eric?
If there was a big standout wide receiver, I would say, yeah, we'd put him in, but there really hasn't been this year.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. For these 3 weeks, he'd have to go fucking yard. Like, he'd have to go 40 Diggs points a week.
Would have to go mental.
Yeah.
For the rest, he'd have to have 30 plus for these next 3 weeks, these next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Don't sleep on quarterback either, man, especially Lamar Jackson. Motherfucker put up almost 40 points in my league, and he has a very good chance of doing it again this week. He could be a potential fantasy MVP, especially that a lot of people probably gave up on him.
That is very
true. I don't know if they gave up on him to the point where they dropped him, but they might have gave up on him to the point where they put his ass on their bench.
Rodgers is right there with him, and he's got soft matchups too. I mean, even Baker has good matchups the next 2 weeks. So,
and Baker's been playing lights out the last few weeks.
Yep. So I definitely think that there's a top three or four at each position that you really got to keep your eye on.
Yeah.
Going into this week and next week.
So I mean, how are we going to grade this? So we're going to take a player. Are we going to try to grade his strength of schedule? Or I mean, you know, like I said, I just don't want to say, you know, whoever scores the most points, because then it's like, why bother? Why bother polling? Why ask the people if we're just going to say, hey, who do you think already scored the most points in the playoffs? You know,
are you going to look? Yeah, we're going to have some type of, I guess, like guidelines. Like you're saying, like with Derrick Henry, he's probably going to be the odds on favorite. But like, say, you know, he's quite a ways behind him in production. But I'm trying to look. All right. So say David Montgomery, for example.
Mm-hmm.
He's been rolling.
Yes, he has.
25 points plus in 3 weeks. Like, say he continues to do that, and looking at a guy who was a fifth-round pick versus a first-round pick, is that something we'd be like, well, you know, David Montgomery, who's pretty much was drafted as a two, was consistently a two all season, and then all of a sudden erupted into a top-10 running back for the second half of the season. Do we value stuff like that, too?
So it would to me, you know, but, like, I mean, that's why I'm asking, because so how about this? What if we did this, right? This just came to me. So how about we each, the three of us, each pick one. That'll be our A, B, and C. And D, we'll just leave blank. Let the listeners write in their answer if they don't agree with our three.
Are we doing for each position?
Or a consensus? Maybe there's somebody, like maybe if Derrick Henry has another 40 points, maybe we're all going to be like, yeah, it's consensusly Derrick Henry's one of them.
Yeah.
And we each pick one. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Steve, you were saying?
Are we doing just one player, or are we going to do one for each position?
We can do, just whatever player you think deserves it, you know, or are going to deserve it. Like, I mean, obviously, like, I'll pick somebody other than Derrick Henry. That's fine.
No. I think Derrick Henry's the consensus favorite.
Well, yeah, he's probably going to be. Likely than not. But, like, I mean, like Eric said, like, let's say David Montgomery goes fucking yard the next 2 weeks. I'd put more weight on Montgomery because he is somebody that I did not expect to turn up like that. He is somebody that I did not count on like that.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I just want to know if we're picking one player or one, you know, one for each position that we think helped your team get to the fantasy through the fantasy playoffs to the championship, or if we just want to pick that one player each. That's all.
Yeah. Why don't we each pick one, and then we'll leave the fourth spot blank. If the listeners have their own idea, then they can write it in, and we will count that as a separate vote. Maybe the write-in wins, you know? Yeah. Who knows? If he gets enough people to vote for him, just like the president, man. So I think that's going to wrap that up. Let's get straight into our boom bust players.
The boom bust players.
So obviously we got to do a better job, guys. We got to do a better job. This is the fucking playoffs. People are counting on us. Not really, because I'm not even sure anyone listens anymore.
No. Or they skip right by this section.
Yeah, if they're smart.
No, they listen because they know who to start. And
yeah, they bench our booms and they start our bus.
Yeah. Well, isn't that what you guys do?
All right. So I guess I'll kick it off. I'll give you my boom and bust. At running back, boom, I have Mr. J.D. McKissic versus Seattle. I definitely could see Washington finding themselves in a hole. I think McKissic could get a lot of receiving work, and that could carry him to a boom, even if he doesn't find the end zone, which I don't think he will. But I'm pretty comfortable starting J.D. McKissic this week. My wide receiver is Juju Smith-Schuster versus Cincinnati. That soft-ass Cincinnati defense, baby. And Juju is the only wide receiver that played 100% of the snaps last week. He is finding his mojo again, dude. He's finding his juju. And Eric brought it up earlier. It was his show last week. He went the fuck off. And I really think that it's going to happen again this week. I am pretty excited about it. My bust running back, I'm taking Mr. Kenyon Drake against Philadelphia. Philadelphia's D-line has been performing pretty well against the run all year. Kenyon Drake has not been particularly efficient or good. And he's not getting a ton of receiving work. Now, there's a good chance that Chase Edmonds will not play, which could help Drake out. Maybe with 100% of the carries, maybe he could make it happen, but I doubt it. My wide receiver is Tyler Lockett against Washington's better-than-expected defense. Washington's defense has been playing much better than anyone expected. You know, we all kind of expected their defensive line to be good, but their secondary is better than I thought they'd be. If Russell Wilson's in a jam and he has to try to force the ball to somebody, I think that somebody is DK Metcalf. So in years past, Tyler Lockett was, you know, force-fed because he was the only guy there. And now that he's not the only guy there, it's like, all right, well, if you're not open, I'm not throwing it to you. You know, now we're kind of seeing what that is. And he still had a good year, but man, has it been up and down, to say the least. And I think this is going to be a down week for him. I'd be pretty scared about starting him this week in the fantasy playoffs, especially coming off a 10-point week against the Jets. Not good. So when I say he's been streaky, dude, like, he has 8 touchdowns this year, and 6 of those touchdowns have come in 2 games. He has 2 3 touchdown games. And those were just absolute fucking monsters. But all around it are single-digit points. It's scary. Mike Cosby's deep sleeper, feeling better about it by the minute. So I picked Willie Snead playing against Jacksonville for $4,300. I am absolutely starting him. I was going to start him regardless because I like the matchup. But now Hollywood Brown has been placed on the COVID-19 reserve list. So, obviously, well, we didn't touch on that in breaking news, did we? Fucking missed that one, didn't we?
Who gives a fuck? It's Hollywood Brown.
So, you know, obviously with Hollywood Brown not there, things get easier, right? So, you know, he does have spotty games of high targets, and, you know, I just think this could be a really good game for him. At my Samson's deep flex play, I am going to take Christian Kirk playing against Philadelphia. You know, Kirk was looking hot for a hot minute there, and he cooled off big time, but he still has it. He still can do it. I still believe in him, and we'll see if he can get right this week in the fantasy playoffs. Hopefully, you know, if you're really hurting, you need somebody to start in that flex spot, hopefully Christian Kirk is either available or on your bench. Eric, who do you have this week?
So starting with the booms, baby, we're going to start at the running back position. And I have Mr. Melvin Gordon III this week as my boom running back. What? Yeah. Oh, dude, Melvin Gordon's kind of been, I guess, has resurged as of late. He's actually been playing pretty well. This is not a very scary matchup going up against Buffalo. I think it's a good little spot for Melvin Gordon, man. I think he can be solid. I think he can definitely finish top 15 this week. All right, so my wide receiver boom this week, I'm going with 29th ranked overall Marvin Jones Jr., who Shane has in his flex spot smartly. instead of that shitbag Antonio Brown. I mean, dude, this should be, I mean, Tennessee can get fucking torched. We've seen it. That defense can give up some points and they can give them up fast. Cleveland steamrolled them a few weeks back. Indy's had success on them in one of their games. I mean, they can give up some points and they can give them up quick, like I said. And I think Marvin Jones has a good little rebound spot for him because he hasn't been playing too great as of late. And I love the matchup. I think this is going to be a shootout game for sure. So since we're on wide receivers, let me give you my bust wide receiver since I'm right here. And I'm going back to the Vikings, but I'm going back, but I'm going to the other guy. I'm going to Justin Jefferson this week. I think he's going to be a little bit more Thielen this week. I think Justin Jefferson's going to underwhelm. They're going up against Chicago. It's in Chicago. Probably going to be cold as ice, if I was going to guess. It is December. Not that that really matters, but it's just more of another feeling right here, man. I think Justin Jefferson's going to underwhelm this week, and there's always these big-name players around this time underwhelm. Hopefully, I don't own any of them. So that's just how I'm feeling. And in my running back, this one was kind of easy to me, man. I'm going with Chris Carson as my bust. He's kind of tough to trust right now. He is not getting a lion's share of the carries. He's barely above 50% of the snaps played. Going up against the football team, I almost said the Skins, who, like you have said, their defense has actually been playing pretty friggin' well. And I think that Washington can limit him. And like I said, the snap, almost like he's on, it's not a snap count, but the limited amount of snaps that he's playing is tough for him to, tough to trust. But you're still playing him because he's still, you know, he probably can and will slip into the end zone, which is probably good enough. Samson's deep flex play. I'm going with CeeDee Lamb. He's a wide receiver 40 on the week. I like this spot going up against the Niners. I don't expect Dallas to win, but I think CeeDee Lamb can see himself a day because I think Cooper and, well, I don't even want to say Gallup. I'm just going to say Cooper. Cooper's going to get the Sherman treatment. I think CeeDee Lamb, who's been playing a majority of his snaps out of the slot, can be in for a good, being for a good little day, man. And I really do. I think he's going to get you 10. I think CeeDee is going to get you 10. Crosby's deep sleeper. I almost went deep, bitched out, but now I'm looking at it again. I'm thinking about doing it.
Do it.
I'm going with Lynn Bowden Jr., baby. Going up against the Pats. 3,600. Fire him up. He's wide receiver only eligible on DraftKings, but he does play some running back snaps.
He does.
So you could potentially get some double dippage going on. And Miles Gaskin is out this week. So expect some more Lynn Bowden. Outsnapped Laird. Laird sucks. I've already been down that road. I ain't going down it again. And 3,600, baby. Lynn Bowden. I almost went with Fournette because he was 45. But
yeah, thought about it.
It's kind of an obvious one.
Yeah, that's why I kind of stayed away too. Steve, what do you got for your boom bust this week?
So my boom bust this week, I'm going with Raheem Mostert versus Dallas and that terrible Dallas defense. He's still only getting 50% of the touches, and Jeff Wilson is getting the goal line carries, so this one might not pan out, but he can break off an 85 or 90-yard touchdown run against Dallas. So my wide receiver, I'm taking Chase Claypool against Cincinnati, going on the other side of Juju. One of them will have a good week. One won't. I'm going to take the Claypool side this week. For my bust running back, I also had Chris Carson. Like Eric said, he's only getting 50% of the snap share. It seems like their game script has changed a little bit in the last few weeks, so we'll see what happens. But I don't expect to get much out of him against Washington. And my bust wide receiver is Michael Thomas against Kansas City. Thomas has been playing better, but like we said before, he has not gotten into the end zone at all this year. And Kansas City, surprisingly, has the number two defense against wide receivers. They've come on late in the season. I think both defenses are really good, and this is going to be a fairly low scoring game. So unless Thomas gets 20 targets and 200 yards, I don't expect for him to be on the leaderboards this week. And so my Samson's deep flex play, I also picked Willie Snead. I picked him on Tuesday before the news of Hollywood Brown came out. So he's obviously going up in the rankings, but at the time he was 78. I'm not going to switch. I still think he's not a guy that most people are looking to start in the fantasy playoffs, but I think he's a guy you can start because there's nobody else to throw the ball to other than Mark Andrews. So It's going to be Dobbins, Andrews, and Willie Snead this week. I think he had a pretty decent week last week as well, coming back off of IR. And my Cosby's deep sleeper, I did reach deep, Eric. I went lower than you to 3,300, and I'm taking Cam Sims for the Washington football team against Seattle.
Alex Smith, I actually don't mind that pick.
He's cheap. I also like the Bowden. I looked at that one too, but I really like Sims this week against Seattle.
No, I don't mind Cam Sims at all. Like Cam, he's been outstapping Steve Sims. He's clearly become the second option.
Oh yeah, he's
as
the
far
number
as
two.
Wide receivers go on that team.
Most definitely.
Yeah.
So that should wrap up our boom bust segment.
It sure does. You did a hell of a job, Steven. As usual, thank you so much for coming in. Well, I mean, we got to get into our head-to-head predictions.
Head-to-head predictions.
So quickly,
playoff edition.
I should add that. Quickly, we're going to give you guys our head-to-head predictions for the very specific Daydreaming Degenerates Fantasy Football Leagues. We're going to go over the teams that are in our playoffs. Eric, give it to me. Who's going to win this week? Is it Shane or Brian Martin?
Oh, boy. This is the one team Shane probably did not want to see in the second round. But I'm going to be dead ass honest. I think if there was ever a week where Shane's going to snap this fucking curse and finally put a check mark in the win column against Brian Martin, I think this is the week, man. He's already off to a strong start. I told you I will always side with history here, but I'm having an extremely hard time siding with history. And I'm thinking about saying that it's about time, and I'm going to do it. Shane, you're going to the championship, baby, for the first time, because I'm going to pick you to win this week. I think you got it. I think you're going to snap that curse. You're going to pick up a dub. First title game. Maybe I'll meet you there, but I'm scared. But I'm going with Shane. I'm going to go with Shane this week.
All right. Steve, who are you taking?
So, I like the matchups on both sides. Other than Brian Martin stuck with Zeke, I know the pain. You got to roll him out.
You may not have to. He didn't practice today.
Yeah, I'm not worried about that.
He's got Pollard on the bench.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, smart.
I'd much rather see him have to play Pollard than being stuck playing Zeke this week. But I think if Shane takes Antonio Brown out of his lineup and puts in Jeff Wilson, I'm going to pick Shane. I'm going to go against history as well. I'm going to take Shane.
To be honest, Shane has a couple of people on his bench I like more than Antonio Brown.
Yeah, he does.
I'd play Kute over Brown.
Yeah.
I would. I would too. Higgins. But with Wilson, if the news with Mossert not practicing, if Jeff Wilson's the number one guy there this weekend, he's my pick hands down.
Yeah. And even Jimmy Graham's coming off a good game against Houston. We started singing his praises a few weeks ago, and he just fell off the face of the fucking earth up until last week.
Yeah, Cole Kmet has been getting the looks when Trubisky came back.
And the only position where I would say that I see Brian Martin has a glaring edge is quarterback.
Absolutely.
Everywhere else, I give the edge to Shane. I think his running back situation's better. Wide receivers, definitely better. So, and even if he plays Brown in the flex, I still like his flex. Well, yeah, it's close. But I would give a slight edge to Shane just because I really do expect big things out of Marvin Jones Jr. this week.
Yeah.
Yep, I do too. No, I do.
So, I mean, obviously, we've been talking for a long time now about how Indy has one of the best young defenses in the league. Would you consider starting Jalen Hurts against Arizona over Deshaun Watson?
Absolutely not.
Yes.
Absolutely not.
I would. I'm starting Jalen Hurts over Kyler Murray.
No.
What?
Yep, I am. Kyler has not been good. And Watson has not been the same since Fuller's been out.
What in the world? What did we just hear?
Did we hear a bear bet?
Oh, did we hear a bear bet?
What's the bear bet?
Kyler Murray outscores Jalen Hurts?
Yeah, I'll take Jalen Hurts.
Sign me up.
We got a beer bet.
I'll take him over to Deshaun Watson as well if you want to go for a double.
No, because I brought it up because I would really consider it. I mean, at the end of the day, I'd probably pussy out and play Deshaun Watson, but I would be seriously tempted. I mean, Jalen Hurts did not look very good in that game.
yet he still put up fantasy points.
He did. Because he had a pretty decent.
He had over 100 yards rushing.
Yes.
He had a pretty decent day rushing, but at the end of the day, he threw for 167 yards. So.
Yep. I agree with you, but it's fantasy football, and our points go to the legs.
Oh, no, undoubtedly. But he wasn't exactly an electric runner either. I don't look at Jalen Hurts and see Lamar Jackson, how do you stop it?
Kyler Murray hasn't been that like that the last couple of weeks because he's debatably been hurt. And Deshaun Watson has not been either. I mean, Watson, since Will Fuller went out, Watson has been under 25 points and then under 20 points last week. And one of them was against Indianapolis. So you're asking if I would start Jalen Hurts, which is somebody that should be on the waiver wire? My answer is yes.
I'm sorry. I can't get behind that. Not over Kyler Murray. Over Deshaun Watson, I would think about it. Somebody's been up and down all year in a seriously bad matchup. I would think about
That's fine.
But not Kyler Murray. No fucking way I would play him over Kyler Murray.
We'll find out on Tuesday.
We will.
I mean, I got Ryan Tannehill, and I don't even know if I'm going to start him over Murray. The more I think about it, I'm going to be pondering that up till fucking 12:58 on Sunday. Who do I play? Which one?
I mean, he did have an uptick in rushing yards this week, so maybe Kyler Murray is starting to get right. He threw for a lot more yards too.
I mean, it's the first time since week 10, I believe, 10. He had more than 5 rushing attempts.
Yes.
He had 13. He actually took off running with the ball 13 times, which was promising to see.
Yeah. He has, but Philly's run defense is good.
Against running backs.
Against running backs, running quarterbacks.
Tannehill's in a fucking great spot, too.
Tannehill's in a fantastic spot. There's no choice there. You have your lineup set the way I would have it set at quarterback. I wouldn't even worry about it. If there was any debate at all, it would be for me because you have Taysom Hill, but I'd still leave Tannehill in. So you didn't make your pick yet on Shane or Brian Martin? Brian?
No, I didn't. I'm picking Shane, but I do think some of his lineup choices are a little questionable. I mean, playing Antonio Brown to me just... I don't like it. I don't know what his infatuation is with that fucking dirtbag. He's been asking us questions about him all fucking year, blowing up the group chat, fucking immediately went out and added him. What is the fascination? He's just a fucking scumbag. But whatever, he fucking loves him. So he has him in there. I wouldn't, but it's his team, and I still think he's going to win. I'll take Shane over Brian Martin. That's going to bring us to your matchup, Kamish. Okay, Cosby's Deep Sleepers versus Ricky Fucked Himself.
Yeah. Well, for the record, even if Ricky played, like you said, he would have absolutely never played KJ Hamler in that spot. And even if he did, he still would have lost by like a point. Ricky just ran into the juggernaut known as Nate Dogg, whose team's been picking up some steam, man. Nate's been a little hot lately.
Jesus, it almost sounds like you're putting some respect on his name.
It's been a little hot, but I don't think he's going to have Julio this week, and that hurts.
He didn't have him last week.
But he also, if he was playing me, he still would have lost because I was the highest scoring team on a bye week, for the record. And I didn't even try.
Mm-hmm.
Not trying to humble brag, but.
But you're going to anyway?
Dude.
But you're going to anyway?
Yeah. I have a lot of decisions to make. I have no brainers. Like, Montgomery, Robinson, no-brainers. Adams, A.J. Brown, no-brainers. Like I've already touched on, the quarterback situation. Who the fuck do I play? I have Tannehill in there now because that's who I'm leaning. Just because that home matchup against Detroit is just really nice to look at. And my flexes, I mean, I don't care about. I know McLaurin's had a couple down weeks in a row now, but yeah, I can't sit him.
I was just about to bring that up, dude. It would fucking terrify me to start Terry McLaurin.
Not against Seattle.
I mean, you don't have anybody to sit him for. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to make the case.
No, you'd have to put DJ Moore in instead. But
you know, McLaurin, he's not the same fucking guy with Alex Smith. Because Alex Smith is not a great thrower. He's had 36 receiving yards the last 2 weeks combined.
Oh, it's been rough. It's been rough. He's had a rough 2-week stretch. I mean, but.
Yeah, you know, before that, he did well against Dallas.
They've all had rough stretches. Most wide outside of Devontae fucking Adams, like most wide receivers have had rough stretches.
No, absolutely. I'm not trying to shit all over Terry McLaurin. I'm just saying, I'm wondering if it seems like there's a correlation between Alex Smith coming in and Terry McLaurin going down. Like I feel like he's being limited by his quarterback. That's my two cents. But he did it. He had almost 100 yards against Dallas. Seattle is a similarly weak defense, so maybe he can go out there and crush it. But I wouldn't bench him. It would just make me nervous.
Oh, I'm definitely nervous.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. But he has had good games. Like Alex Smith took over in week 9. Like he's had good games with Smith. He's had more good games with Smith than bad when you really look at it. I mean, it's just these past 2 weeks. I don't know what the fuck's going on, but it is scary because it's two catches. Two catches week 13, two catches week 14. It's like, what the fuck are you doing? Is that just, was it the difficulty coverage of the matchups? Is it coverage?
It's coverage.
I mean, a team's I
don't worry about Terry this week. He's had a couple tough matchups the last couple weeks. He's not putting up the numbers you thought beginning of the season that he was going to throw up, but he's been fine. He had two tough matchups the last couple of weeks. It's going to be all right this week.
And, so it's like J.K. Dobbins. Like it's like as much as I don't want to play him, like how do I not?
Oh, you got to play him against Jacksonville.
Yeah,
he's going against Jacksonville, and like he's finally like starting to take over that backfield, dude. Mark Ingram played a snap last week.
Oh, Ingram's out. It's Dobbins and Gus Edwards.
It took until week 13, but he finally took over that backfield.
Yeah. Mark Ingram played the first snap of the game and he never fucking saw the field again.
Yeah. Well, he needed the start.
Like, just give him the start? Like, is that what we're doing now? Yeah. Like, I don't know.
I mean, it's been since week 8. Since the bye week, he's been the lead back in that backfield. And the last 3 weeks, he's made decent production out of it and he's got an extremely soft matchup this week. So I don't think you have to worry about starting J.K. Dobbins against Jacksonville.
So, for the record, I'm going with Eric over Nate.
I am also taking Eric over Nate. Nate, you've done a great job getting this far, but I think Eric just has much better matchups this week.
Agreed.
And for the record, I am also picking myself. I cannot pick against myself in the playoffs. That's just like...
blasphemy.
Who would want to give themselves that fucking bad juju? Even though I ain't going to lie to you, Nate's... I almost said Shane. Nate's team scares me. It does. Jackson can go off. Cook can go off in the drop of a hat. Jonathan Taylor has finally fucking got it. Looks like he got it together.
I feel like your matchup is more losable than Shane and Brian Martin. I feel like Shane's a lock, and I feel like yours is much more in doubt.
Pittman. I mean, Pittman's kind of been one of them guys. It's like, oh yeah, he should be taken. You know, he should step up and finally emerge as maybe a good option. And like, he's just been ass the past 3 weeks.
Yeah, but T.Y. Hilton's been taking all the looks.
And what is T.Y. Hilton known as?
Texan Slayer.
Yeah, he's the Texan Slayer.
So. Who are they playing? The Texans. I mean, if Nate had Julio, I'd be really like, whoa, this is a coin flip. I still think it's a coin flip, but I'm picking myself. I trust my team a little bit more, even though I'm telling you right now, I wouldn't be surprised if I shake something up. I'm even looking at Dallas Goedert. I'm like, do I play him or fucking Tanyan?
Goedert.
Is it Goedert?
It's Goedert.
That's what I'm leaning.
Yeah. Yeah, the one thing I did like with Hurts was Goddard still had 4 receptions. I think he had 6 targets. Yeah, for 43 yards. So he's still throwing the ball to the tight end.
Yeah, I mean between those two, I would play Goddard. I wouldn't want to play either one of them. I'd put in Taysom Hill.
If I could, I would. I should have just left him there. Okay. Right. I should have. I had to let pride get in the way and be like, I can't do this. With Tanyan.
Carolina hasn't been as good against tight ends as at the end of the season here as they were at the beginning. So Tanya doesn't worry me as much as he would have, you know, 5-6 weeks ago against them. But his usage is up and down so much that I think you're better off to take the consistent floor with that guard. It's going to give you with 6 to 8 points, and then you still have the touchdown upside.
Yeah, but. So, like with Tanya in the past month, 15 points, 17 points, 14 points, 14.5. Like, he's been good.
Yeah.
I mean, five catches.
But he's got a touchdown in every one of those games.
He does. But even without a touchdown, some of these, like 9.4 week 11, not terrible. Mm-hmm. 11.7.
Believe me, I'm not hating on Tanya at all. I wouldn't fault you for putting him in. I just, Goddard is the safer bet, I think. But
it's easier to imagine Goddard getting enough volume to be relevant than it is Tanyan. Tanyan is touchdown dependent.
But I mean, Tanyan gets five targets a game, so it's, I don't know, it's kind of a wash, really.
It really is. And Devontae Adams is healthy and he's there and he's playing, and that definitely like does limit Tanyan a little bit. Like we've said, you know, Tanyan benefited the most when Adams was out. It seemed like that's when he had his best days and his best games. But I'm probably gonna play Goddard. It does, either one of them would scare me, but I feel like Tanyan is more likely to fucking shit the bed than Goddard, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like there's a better chance that Tanyan has one catch for 7 yards than Goddard. I feel like Goddard's at least gonna get me 7.
Yeah.
8, 9.
I mean, even these last 4 weeks where he's been really good, he's completely touchdown dependent. Without those touchdowns, his scores are mediocre at best. And I'd rather play Goddard and gamble on the volume, you know, because usually volume doesn't go up and down. You know, it's not as fluky as touchdowns. I'll take the volume.
And actually, I got to make the decision by Saturday because I forgot Green Bay is playing on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm leaning Goddard. I'm probably just going to roll with him and die on that hill.
So I think that's pretty much going to wrap up the episode. Eric, was there anything you wanted to add?
I do not believe I have anything to add. Good luck in your playoff matchups. That's all I'm going to say to everybody, except for Nate, obviously, for personal reasons. I'm scared of Nate's team. I'm not even lying. Like I wouldn't be surprised if I do lose.
Yeah, I can see it for sure.
Yeah, that's all I'm going to read. It's not like one of those, like, oh, that's a win. Like, no, Nate seems to have been hot. And we'll have to see how it all shakes out. And that's it. So, yeah, just thank you guys for listening. Season's almost over, man. Can't believe it.
Steve, anything?
Just my normal. Check your lineups. You got Saturday games this week. You got Sunday games. You got Monday games. Make sure you put the right guys into your running back, wide receiver spots, and the other guys in your flex. Don't make the mistake. Now's not the time. And good luck in your fantasy playoffs.
All right, guys. So that's pretty much going to do it for this episode. We need the mailbag. Got to have it. Need to get it. You can leave us a voicemail at 508-343-8010. We'll answer start, sit, roster, ads, fucking whatever. Doesn't matter, man. Just fucking reach out. We'll answer your question. And we can be reached by email at dddfantasyfootball@gmail.com. We check that quite often. So thank you guys for listening yet again. We'll be back next week for your championship predictions. We look forward to hearing from you.